Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Last week we started this study. We talked about living in hope, and we looked at the first 12 verses of chapter 1, and basically in review, we live in hope because of our salvation through our faith and by God's grace, which were the basic main points there. We need to understand that we can live in hope when we have the life that gives hope, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It will give you hope wherever you are. It will give you hope whatever circumstance you're in. We see that Peter immediately goes into doctrine. He talks about the doctrine of the Trinity and identifies the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the plan of God the Father to send His Son to die on the cross to give us salvation. We see the protection of the Holy Spirit, the personal effort of Jesus Christ. He alone got salvation for mankind and the products of grace and truth and mercy to us. We live in hope because of salvation, verses 3 and 5. We are separated from being spiritually dead. We have been quickened by the Holy Spirit, and we should live that. That in itself should elicit praise. If you have nothing else to praise God for, you can praise Him for your salvation. And then also, that should experience new life. We should walk in newness of life, not in the oldness of the letter or our old nature. We need to see this inheritance that is set before you. And it's got four things. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's eternal. And Christ reserved it for us. And He'll never break the reservation. And then we see here, lastly, we see we're saved to the end of salvation. And basically, we haven't gotten our glorified bodies yet. We have not been totally redeemed from the sinful world. That's going to happen when Christ comes back. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that. We need to all be looking forward to that. And we saw that He can keep us from falling. He saves to the uttermost. Then we live in hope through faith. We should live in hope and faith through endurance that fights through trials. We should have expected results, growing our faith. That's what trials do in our life. And if they don't, all you want to do is suck your thumb and cry about it. You're going to get more of them because you're not doing the right thing. Okay? We need to be glorifying God. We need to have gratitude towards God. And it's gaining the end of our salvation. And lastly, we need to live in hope because of grace that was announced by the prophets. They knew that Christ was going to do it. They saw all the prophecies. They wrote them down. That was anticipated. They looked forward to it. And I would guess that if Isaiah and Jeremiah had been in the crowd on Palm Sunday, they would really recognize who Christ was because they'd been looking for Him. Are we looking for Christ to return? And that was administered and then that was acclaimed. So that was our first study in 1 Peter. Tonight we're going to be looking at verses... I didn't advance it. Oh well. Okay? Or did I? It's a duplicate slide. You know, computers don't do what you want them to do. You ought to be thought control. You ought to just do it. But it doesn't work that way. So tonight, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 21. It's something that we all need to do. And it's about living in holiness. 1 and 2 Peter are basically about the life that we should live. We should live in hope. We should live in holiness. And we should live holy lives because of our hope in Christ. Well, there's three things tonight that we're going to look at in this passage. The first one is found in verses 13 and 14. We need to look forward with hope. In verse 13 to start, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We see several things here in this first verse. First of all, we need to lift our gaze. We need to be looking up, not down. We need to be looking up, not sideways. We need to be looking to God, not others. Peter learned that lesson, finally. So we need to lift our gaze, and we need to be prepared. It says here, it says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. This word for gird means to, it comes from the Oriental tradition where they had long robes. And in order for them to move freely, what they would do is they would gather up the robes and tie them up. It gives us the idea that we're supposed to tie up all the loose ends of our mind and tie them all up in our mind. And our mind needs to be focused on Christ. Mm-hmm. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says this, that we're supposed to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. You know, your speech tells you where your heart is. If you talk about other things before God, enough said. Enough said. So basically, we need to gird up the loins of your mind. It's your mind that's where the battleground is. It is where the warfare is. And so we need to basically tie up all the loose ends, gather up all the things that can encumber us so we can run this race, so we can do the fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, another word that's the same word for gird that's used here. It basically, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Folks, there's so much falseness out there that's corrupted people's minds. People would rather believe a lie than the truth. But that means the truth is still there, and it's still the truth. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the first thing we need to look forward with hope is we need to lift our gaze, and we need to be prepared by tying up all the loose ends and focusing on Christ. The second thing we need to do is we need to be proper. We need to be proper. It says here, be sober. Okay? Be sober means to be under control, to be temperate. When you see the words about temperance in the Bible, being self-control or self-control, it's the same word. So what we need to do is we need to understand that you can't live out of control unless God's got you under control. Amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. It says, therefore, let us not, what? Sleep. As do others. But let us watch and be sober. It's the same thought. If we're looking forward to Christ, we should gird up our mind and bring everything and tie up all the loose ends. And we should be temperate and we should be looking at Christ. For they that sleep, sleep in the what? In the night, they're not in the light. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, be what? Sober. Get the idea? Get the idea we need to be sober. We're not talking about not drinking. We're talking about being clear-minded and being under control and being temperate. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So the first part of this verse, we need to lift our gaze, and that we need to be prepared, and we need to be proper. The second thing is we need to be looking for God. It says here in the last part of this, it says, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to be expecting. So this issue about hope is to look that you're going to receive something. You know, at Christmas time or around your birthday, you're hoping that you're going to receive a what? A present. Okay? It's the same kind. We need to be redeemed. All creation groans, waiting for this redemption, waiting for this hope. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You know, you're missing out on blessings if you're not looking for them.
Right.
You're not seeing God work if you're not expecting him to work. He's there. The issue is, have we tied up all the loose ends of our mind that we're looking for him? They need to be expecting. And not only that, we need to hope to the what? To the end. To the end. To the end of our what? Our physical life. Because God will take care of the rest. And we need to be enduring. So we need to look for God expecting. And we need to look for God enduring. And so what should we do? We should be looking like Romans 8:23 says. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the what? The adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That's what Peter's talking about here. He says, gird up the loins of your mind, get ready for this. And if we're not mentally ready for anything, we're not ready. No. We need to be mentally ready. Be sober. If you're out of control, you're not going to be looking in the right place. You're not going to be doing the right thing. And then the other thing is we need to look for God. Now, in verse 14, we need to live in good. You can say live in God. That'll be fine too. But we need to live in good. In 1 Peter 1, verse 14, it says this. As obedient what? Children. Now you know something, that's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? Children obedience, they just kind of like diametrically opposed. And aren't we that way sometimes with God? Peter's saying, look, you can't be like the rest of the world. You can't be like everybody else. You got to be different. You got to be obedient children. Oh, if my students were obedient. What a wonderful experience it would be. Sometimes you say that about your own kids, right? And they would just listen. Why didn't you just listen? Why didn't you just do what mom and dad said? Okay, fine. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lust and your ignorance. First of all, how can you be obedient? You're obedient by being devoted. You got to choose. You got to. If these two verses are connected, you got to tie up all the loose ends in your mind. Be sober, so you can look to be obedient. We need to be to be devoted. The word for obedience is used in verse 14 is the same word that's used for obedience in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted the self against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the what? To the obedience of Christ. Every thought, every action, all of your life, to the end, needs to be to Christ. Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the what? Glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So how can you live in good as obedient children? You've got to be by being devoted, not by being devoted. Okay? And the second thing, by being different. Okay? By being different. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Be not conformed to this world. Okay? We're supposed to be different. Yes, my wife shared her cold with me. And I'm up here struggling tonight. Okay? But be not conformed to this world. But be you what? Transformed. You can't be transformed unless you're obedient. You can't be transformed unless you're sober. You can't be transformed unless you gird up the loins of your mind. You can't be transformed unless you're hoping for the end of the revelation of Christ. That's what's transformational in our mind. It says that by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that what? That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tell you what, you're not going to do good things with bad thoughts.
You're right.
Okay? And you're not going to do bad things with good thoughts. Makes sense? So we need to lift your gaze. We need to look to God. And then we need to live in good. We are created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. We're supposed to let our light shine so people can see our what? Good works. And do what? Glorify God. So we need to look forward with hope. Secondly, we need to live in line with God's holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Right. What we need to do is we need to embrace God's standard. Amen. Galatians says that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to the knowledge of God, to bring us that we're not living up to God's standard. There's no way you're going to live up to God's standard. Because God's standard in yourself, that is holiness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says this, "Be ye therefore what? Perfect." This is not being complete, folks. This is being perfect. Without spot or wrinkle or blemish. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now hold on a second. Remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And all those people there, the Pharisees, go, "I'm perfect." How many people have you met in your life that said, I've never done anything wrong? Your kids will tell you that. What? Not done anything wrong. When they're confronted. Had that happen yesterday. Caught him in a lie. What? I didn't do anything. Here's the pink slip. Okay? But the issue is, we need to embrace God's standard. God's standard is holiness. Okay? Because as he which hath called you, who has called us? Christ. God has. Is what? Holy. That's his standard. And folks, it's time for Christians to live right. Amen. And not to let the world come in. Because of that, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This is just not your speech, although that's an important part of it. It's everything about your life. So not only do we need to embrace God's standard, we need to empty yourselves of sin. First of all, there's a massive purging going on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, verse 7, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven." Now what is Paul talking about here? He says, get the sin out of the church. To get the sin out of church, you've got to get sin out of people in the church. Purge it out. What does purge mean? Don't hold on to it. Get rid of it. Extinguish it. Destroy it. Put it away. Don't let it come back. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a what? A new lump. As ye are what? Unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Yeah. See, we need to empty ourselves of sin. We do that by purging. And that purging happens when you meet Christ. He forgives you all of your sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then it's a prevention. It's a prevention. Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He also writes to the Galatians church. He also talks about his own struggle in Romans chapter 7. We need to understand this. That a little sin or a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole lump. James says this. He says, if you're guilty in one point of the law, you're guilty of all of it. Amen. One sin makes you a sinner. Amen. One lie makes you a liar. And you can't change that. And from that point on, you're not pure. You're not perfect. We need to embrace God's standard. We need to empty yourselves of sin. And then we need to esteem God highly. Esteeming highly. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He told that to the Israelites. Well, did they do it?
No.
Nah. Okay? He tells us to the church, do we do it? We're supposed to. How's your holiness standard right now? How's your holiness standard? John chapter 14, verse 21. "He that hath my commandments," Christ said this. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John writes later on in his first letter, he says, you need to, if you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, you know you're the children of God, and everybody else knows it too. Okay? But in John 14, verse 21, it says, "He that hath my commandments," this is Jesus speaking. This is God speaking to you. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, I found in life that there's a big difference between knowing and doing." And that applies in all sorts of life. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." I just don't see God working in my life. You won't if you're living in sin.
Right.
You won't. If you won't when you're not going his way. You won't when you're not expecting him. You won't when you don't look for him. So we need to live in line with God's holiness. Then we need to live in awe of God. We need to lean on God's sovereignty. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 says, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." You know, it's a sad thing that in schools today, I got 100 average. But what'd you get on your last test? 90. But I got 10 points bonus, so I got 100. I got a perfect score. No, you didn't. You missed 10 points. And we have lowered the standard of what perfection is. We've lowered the standard of what right is. We're not embracing God's standard here. We need to lean on God's side. "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." In fear. That's out of respect for God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says this. We know the first two verses. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path." Look at verse 7. "Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." How can we say we're trusting in God if we have no respect for him? How do you have respect for him? You do what he says to do. That shows that you love. You're having him in esteem. So we need to live in awe of God. And we need to live on his sovereignty. He is the ultimate judge. And everything we do, we need to understand it's going to be judged by him.
Yes.
Amen. So we'll be judged by him. We're supposed to pass the time of your soul journey here in fear. We need to look to to Christ's sacrifices. Sacrifice. Verses 18 through 20. And this is a familiar verse. I'm not going to preach on this one very long. because it speaks for itself. Forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, ritual can't get you to heaven.
No.
Religion doesn't get you to heaven. A red heifer doesn't get you to heaven. No. Doing all these special acts won't do a bit of good.
No.
You need Christ.
Amen.
You, for as much as you know that you are not and you know it. That's the point. We're supposed to know it. He talked earlier about ignorance, okay? That we were not redeemed with incorruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation. What does vain mean? Worthless. What does conversation mean? Lifestyle, okay? Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ,
amen,
as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Amen.
We need to live in all that. God thought of us before there was any us. God thought of us before the world even began, when there was just Him. Wow. We ought to stand in awe of that. And you know something? When you stand in awe of something, you have reverence for it. And when you have reverence for it, you'll listen. And you'll do. And you'll respect. And you'll do that. So lean on God's sovereignty. Look at Christ's sacrifice. And then live liberated lives. Christ said, whom the Son of Man set free, he is what? Free indeed. In verse 21 it says, who by him do believe in God. By who? Christ. You can't believe in God without Christ. That raised him from the dead and gave him glory. Why? That your faith and hope might be in God. There's two things that we need to do here. The first one is we need to believe on Him.
Right.
We need to believe on Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
So to live a liberated life, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. And then believe in Him.
There it is.
Believe in Him. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
Be sober. Gird up the loins of your mind. Tie up all these loose things that are going around and around and around and around. And hold to the end for God. We are too easily sidetracked today. There are too many distractions. We need to keep our focus on God. How we live matters to God. So let us live holy lives.
Amen.
And I think it's interesting that we have this when we're planning to take the Lord's Supper tonight. Because it's all about being right with God. So we will have a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, let's get it right. Amen. If God's revealed that there's something that's not quite holy enough by His standard, you need to get that fixed. If you don't know Him as your Savior, believe in Him tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, we ask that You just move through Your Holy Spirit in a mighty way, that You change our lives and that we just live holiness to Your truth. We thank You, we love You, and we ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.